I've been looking at what to do for next week for Mother's Day, and as I did a study throughout the book of Proverbs with all the occurrences of mother, it isn't that many. In fact, all of the occurrences of mother show up here, except for one, and it didn't really fit, so I didn't put it in. So Proverbs 4, verse 3, if it means anything, the only one that's not mentioned in all of the book of Proverbs. So I was like, wow, all of the things that the Bible has to say in the book of Proverbs about motherhood is actually to children in some way, shape, or form, at least to some degree. It's almost looking at it from a perspective of a child, a son or a daughter looking toward their mom or something about that. It's not to say there aren't things about parenting that we can't learn from this, but I thought it was an interesting perspective that it approaches it more from an angle of the son or the child of the person. So that's what we're going to look at today. It's only 5 points. I could probably have found more, but I just thought they kind of fit into these five. So that's what we're going to look at today. So it's kind of a pre-Mother's Day service that's directed more toward us as children that have mothers, right? Whether or not our mothers are still living today or not, really isn't that relevant here. It does impact us some, but at the same time, there's overriding things that should continue to impact us because of our mothers, even today. So that's what we're going to look at. I call it, the series is Life Principles from Proverbs, and the title of the sermon is called Minding Our Manners Toward Our Mothers. That's probably a little thick for the title, but you know, just how to treat our moms. And it's five just general actions or principles, general five responses that we have toward our mothers that I think are very evident in the book of Proverbs. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we work through your word. We are amazed at how you touch on everything. And Lord, I am amazed at how you always approach things differently than I think it would be approached. And I'm just thankful for that, Lord. You address the needs where they are. Lord, mothers do so much, and there are obligations, there are responsibilities, there are duties, there are privileges that we have to be able to respond rightly to our mothers. And I pray that you would just help us as we look at this today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the verses are all in here. It's not probably a super long event this morning. We were able to take a little extra time with singing as well, which I really enjoyed. Thank you again for choosing those. We'll try and do that regularly, more often than we have for sure. So anyway, let me flip these notes over so I don't start teaching Sunday school to you. That wouldn't be good. Okay, my brain is in two different places. One is in Sunday school, so. All right. The first one, and I'll just start out, and I ordered these somewhat logically and somewhat by volume, okay, because they're not in the order in which they occur by the points themselves, though the points come from all over, as you can see. But I did the largest one first, but I also think it's the most logical. It starts there. So if your mother is alive today, this is very relevant to you. It doesn't make it irrelevant if your mom is no longer with us today, but you'll see how it impacts you even then as we go on. But the first one, first response to our mothers is to listen obediently. Instead of putting these into two parts, you could say you should listen to your mother and you should obey your mother. I think these go together. Okay, listen obediently to your mother. Now, there's five verses here. I'll just start out. And yes, at times it brings in the father too. But sometimes it's just the mother. But you'll see here how they work. But we are to listen obediently to our mothers. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Okay, so you have two things that moms and dads do. Probably even the almost the worst of moms and dads will still do this to some degree or another. But dads instruct their kids in this verse. Moms instruct too. It just says it in a different way. And mom gives the law of your mother. Now, whether it's talking about the law as in the Bible or just the guidance or directions that parents give as parents, and I think it's probably the latter. It's not just the law. It's the law of your mother, okay? But the idea is the parents are teaching, and I honestly have come across very few parents that aren't trying to do that for their kids in some way, shape, or form. That doesn't mean we all do it well. We certainly, none of us do it perfectly, right? That isn't even a question. But what do we do as kids, as children of our parents? And we're to hear, we're to listen with the idea of following that, okay? We're to pay attention, we're to listen to our parents, listen to our mother, and to follow what she says. Again, I honestly don't know of any parent. I'm not saying that some parents don't have blown this out of the water because they've totally failed in this, but they still want their kids to succeed. They still want their kids to do right. They still want their kids to even escape what they've gotten into at times, okay? So the idea for kids then is to pay attention with the idea of following what the parents say. Chapter 6, verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." There's the same phrase there in the same clause in chapter 6, verse 20, that the mother is influencing the direction of her children, and we are to pay attention and obediently listen. Chapter 23, verse 22, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Okay, there's that pay attention again. And the idea of begot here, again, it's related to the father, but I think it's tied in both to the father and the mother, the way the verse is written. Because obviously the father begot you, but so did the mom, right? But I think there's a sense of, that I believe, a biblical sense of obligation to those that brought us into the world. Okay, there's a sense in which we owe them a listening ear, okay, that we owe them the responsibility to pay attention to what they say, because simply because they brought us into the world, not because they control conception in the sense that they can't generate someone into existence, but God allowed them to bring you into this world physically and raised you up, and as good or bad as they did, they accomplished that, and so we should listen obediently to them. And it, by the way, notice there in none of these verses are there qualifications, unless they're a bad mom, unless they're a bad dad, unless they don't have all the answers. There is no qualification in that way. God knows our parents, right? God knows that, and He still says you need to pay attention to your parents, your mom here. And notice here, this is probably the hardest one that I had of all of these. The last clause here, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." Now, there's two ways to take it. Both are biblically true. I just don't know which one this is talking about. But one has to do with taking care of your parents when they're old, right? Old age. Caring in old age. In Matthew 15, Jesus emphasizes that part of our responsibility as children is to care for our parents when they're old. That is not a question. That's an obligation in Scripture. That's a given, okay? We're not arguing whether that's true or not. In Matthew 15, the elders and the Pharisees and all that tried to get on Jesus and say, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? It says in Matthew 15. Okay? And Jesus doesn't even answer it. He says, why Do your traditions transgress the commandments of God? Okay, they've made stuff up and then made that what you follow, and it actually was circumventing obeying God. And then he goes on to say, for you say, if I have a means to help my parents when they're old, is the context. It is Korban. I've dedicated it to God. So even though all my money's in my bank account in my control, we're not talking, we haven't threw it in the offering plate. We haven't donated it to some needy place. We've kept it. We've dedicated it just for God's use. And so I can't use my money for taking care of my parents. And he says, by doing so, you have undermined the commandment of God. It's very clear that we're to take care of our parents in our old age. And that is part why God gives us money. Our money isn't just to do what we want to do with. There are obligations and responsibilities. And it goes beyond just our own house. Okay? So we're not questioning whether this is a Bible command or not. It most certainly is. What it appears here, I think, in Proverbs 23:22 is when your parents get old, specifically here your mother, but it's, I think they jump back and forth between mom and dad because it's true for both, still listen and obey. And we're not talking about like a child would or whatever, but it's like you don't despise what they've taught you over the years. That's the idea. That doesn't mean that they got everything right. You know, that they had it all figured out, so everything they said was ex cathedra, it came directly from God. It's not. But understand that they still have an influence in your life, even when they are old. We are, and I don't want to use the term obligated, because we are privileged to still care for our parents, but also to listen to them and give them attention and weigh what they have to say, even when they're old. Okay, they are worth that, and God says that is what we should be doing. We have that privilege. Again, that doesn't mean that they have all the answers. Parents will never have all the answers. Even when, I'll just speak for myself, even when you think you have some of the answers, I certainly don't have anywhere, I probably have 1% of the answers, and it's hard to apply those 1%. You don't even use what you know sometimes, because the flesh gets in the way, or the, you know, you just flat out forget sometimes. But still, God says to listen to your parents. Okay, even when they're old, listen with an obedient ear. Chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, talking about the way our parents train us, both physically, you know, spanking or switching or however you want to call it, and verbally, physically and verbally, give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, this actually probably is more weighed toward the parents, but the idea that we are to actively train our kids both in a physical way as need be and also a verbal way. It's a combination of both. We need to talk to our kids, and we also need to, as needed, correct them and punish them. But notice here, a child left to himself brings what? Shame to his mother, right? Yeah, the idea that they need our influence. And by the way, kids, and we are all kids, understand, I'm not saying that in a demeaning way. That, again, is why God gave us parents. Right? God gave us parents to help us learn what is true and to do what is true. And our parents are our best instructors in that. And that doesn't mean that they're only instructors, but they certainly are with us more than anybody else, early on in life especially. Proverbs 31, Joanna mentioned a verse, or Judy did on her behalf with regard to that. it's interesting, but Proverbs 31, you know, everyone thinks, oh, the Proverbs 31 woman, and it's, I think it's an excellent passage, and I think it reflects a lot of ladies who do walk with God. And again, no one's perfect or whatever, but it shows you what characteristics are of those ladies that do walk with God. But it's interesting that it's a proverb that a mother is teaching her son about what a godly woman looks like. It's not a guy listing it. It's a mom influencing her son what to look for in a godly woman. Okay? So pay attention. I always, in short, I always tell my kids, well, find someone like your mom. In short, mom's not perfect, but if you find someone like that, that's you're doing well, you know, kind of thing. But as I said, pay attention and look. It's easy to fall in love, at least for some people. It's easy to fall in love, but you need to be paying attention to what the characteristics are of these people before you fall in love with them. Right, regardless of which direction, if it's a boy versus towards a girl or a girl towards a boy, the first thing is to evaluate what is their relationship to God, right? Not are they saved or not. That's a first step. That's like saying they're, you know, I'm going to marry somebody that's been born. Well, that's pretty low barrier there, right? You want to find somebody that has biblical maturity, that's walking with God and serving God, okay? And then parents need to help their kids see that, right? Know what to look for, because it's the world certainly today looks for things that are completely different than what the Bible looks for in a mate, right? Isn't that true? It's the outward appearance. It's the popularity. It might be the riches. It might be some external talent or whatever. And, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful. I haven't had to worry about it. I don't lay awake much at night wondering if I'm going to have to wear a veil over my head to keep people from, you know, like Moses did with his light or something. But there's nothing wrong with those things, but they are not terms of evaluation. It's what a person is toward God, and ultimately, too, toward immediately their parents, for example. Their closest authority relationship, their closest family relationships, how they get along, because that'll show what they really are. But it's interesting, we should pay attention to our parents even with regard to who we're marrying. Here's a mom influencing her son. What was the son's name? Do you remember in Proverbs 31? It was Lemuel, right? King Lemuel, right? So the mother is influencing her son with regard to his future mate. This is what to look for. So we should listen obediently. It'll, I think, save us a lot of problems, right? And the parents are there to help you, not to hurt you. Of course, parents don't have all-seeing eyes. So I heard a guy one time, this is before my kids, I had very few kids, but I understood it even then. They were all young, but he said, any guy that would marry my daughter is already an ape in my eyes. You know, you slant it against people kind of thing. So we have to take that into consideration. The guy married his daughter. So he's a pastor. He's with the Lord now. But the idea of it is like, no one's good enough for your daughter idea. You know, kind of thing. So, but it was cute the way he presented it anyway. And I got it even as a dad. It was hard, and hard to give away your daughters kind of thing. Number two, I'm just thankful that my father-in-law didn't have so high expectations that I could marry my wife. All right, number two. This is related to this, but live wisely. Live wisely, and I put because of your mother. Again, take into consideration who they are, their place in your... God puts you underneath your parents on purpose. Of all the people you could have been born to, he puts you underneath your parents. He also gave you the mom he wanted you to have. And I believe that that should influence us to some degree. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, that starts a new section of Proverbs. That's why it lists them here. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Understand that your actions as a son or a daughter impact your parents. I believe even after they're gone, not necessarily impact them then, but it reflects on what you think of your parents. It reflects on what your parents said and didn't say, okay? Notice what happens, and this will probably more likely be related to parents that are still alive, but a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief of his mother. The idea that it grieves a parent to see a child not living wisely. Okay, what is grief a lot of times associated with? Death, right? You know, yeah, it's nothing secret. But the idea of it just, if you've ever lost someone to death, it's that hard of a thing on your heart. I haven't lost too many people close to me yet. I'm thankful for that I haven't had to go through that. You know, some grandparents and some cousins and stuff. But I have at times gone through experiences that someone identified and said, you're grieving. You know, I couldn't eat. I couldn't really think about a whole lot of different things. And I even lost a lot of weight, things like that. It was very hard. And why? Because you're hurting for your child, right? Because of their choices, because of their actions or whatever. In the same way, a child can impact a parent because they see the wrong direction maybe the child is going, the child can also do the same thing on the inverse. They can actually just encourage a parent by doing wise things. Again, that doesn't mean that the parent knows everything or you know, had it all right when they're raising you, but it encourages them that you're living wisely, that you're making godly decisions, biblical decisions. You're choosing things based upon what God says is true as opposed to what the world, the flesh, or the devil would influence you to do. Chapter 15, verse 20, under number 2 says, a wise son makes a father glad. It's kind of the same thing in chapter 10, verse 1. Notice that it changes the second part, but a foolish man despises his mother. Okay, the idea that you're kind of shaking your fist at your mom when you make poor choices. And those poor choices aren't accident choices. Those are choices that you know you should make a different decision and you choose to do otherwise anyway. Okay, so that's part of it. A foolish man is actually rebelling against the wisdom of his parents. A foolish child is rebelling against the wisdom of his parents. Again, the parents, to some degree or another, seek to set their children in a right direction, and they choose not to follow that direction. And it's a way to rebel. It isn't a matter of, well, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my boss. It's like, well, no, that's ridiculous. They're there to try and help you. Okay? It's totally out of the realm of, by the way, God did make them your boss, but it's not the issue. It's like, no, they're trying to help you stay on course, right? Chapter 23, verse 25, kind of gets it directly to the child. It says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. The idea of walking with God brings gladness to parents, okay? So live wisely because of your mother. Listen to what she has to say and walk in that general direction. Learn from what she was trying to tell you and live what she's trying to tell you. As God gives you greater insight, it'll make more sense. Even though mom didn't get it all right, God gave us moms to help us get it in the right direction anyway. Number 3, It's interesting, but Proverbs brings up this at least twice. Speak honorably. To and about your mother. Your words say a lot about what you think. Okay. Chapter 20, verse 20 says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out into deep darkness. Now, isn't that interesting? It almost, and I don't fully comprehend the verse. It almost sounds like, is it figurative or is it literal? Because it almost sounds like eternal damnation. Okay, now we understand that we're not saved by our works, we're not lost by our works. But whatever this is, it's very bad. We are not to curse our father and mother. By the way, curse is not just swearing at our parents, though that is wrong. We're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain, right? Isn't that the second commandment? So that's not even arguably correct in any way, shape, or form. And you're not violating your parent at that point. You're violating your creator. So that's not the issue. But cursing, like, may you die, may, you know, whatever. It's that idea. And it's like God takes that seriously. And by the way, notice again, there's no qualification. Unless they've been mean to you. Unless you don't think they were fair. Unless, no, God puts this in more of an absolute form that God expects us to honorably speak to our parents and about our parents. Okay, that's just what God expects. Okay? And so, when you're around people, you don't sit there and talk bad about your parents. And you don't talk bad to your parents to your parents. You talk to them in a respectful, honoring manner. Do they deserve honor? It doesn't matter. Because God says you speak honorably to your parents. Does that make sense? Isn't that great? It's kind of like husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands kind of thing. It doesn't qualify because it takes the whole human factor out. You can love your husband even though he's unlovable. You can submit to your wife, husband. Let's start over. You can love your wife even though at times she's unlovable. God doesn't say unless. And you can submit to your husband even though he's unsubmittable. The Bible doesn't say unless, right? It is so divinely wise to do this. So, you know, one of the things that one of the Ten Commandments, and the kids in FLAP sing the song that helps them learn the Ten Commandments, but the fifth commandment is honor. No, it's the sixth commandment. We don't learn the numbers of them, but honor your father and your mother. And again, there's no exception clause there, right? So speak honorably to your mother and about your mother. Chapter 30, verse 11, there's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. It looks like it, that we should be blessing our parents, blessing our moms in the way we talk to them and about them, even thanking them for what they do. Again, it's not ignoring that they're imperfect. It's just acknowledging who they are and what they've done in our lives, right? Number four, related to this, how we talk to them is how we treat them. So treat your mother respectfully. So it's treat your mother respectfully. Okay. Chapter 19, verse 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Now, again, it's hard to know what the context of this is. It almost looks like when they get older, because you have the ability to mistreat your parents, maybe in a way that you can't when you're younger. Otherwise, your dad will break your other leg, right? Kind of idea. So it seems like as they get older, you still honor them. You treat them respectfully. You don't mom has become a little bit of trouble, and so I'm just going to pawn her off on somebody else kind of idea. Okay, or dad is old, and now I'm just going to not listen to what he has to say. I'm going to mistreat him. Okay, just get over in your corner and be quiet. Okay, that's what it seems to be. We're not to be this way. We're not to mistreat our fathers, and we're not to chase away our mother, because it brings shame and reproach. Okay? Here's chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father. What is the eye? It doesn't say the mouth, does it, here? What does the eye reflect? Can you rebel with your eye? Yeah, you can. By not saying a word. Okay, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Maybe it's like the idea of a rolling of the eyes or the whatever, but it's the idea again that we need to, going back to number one, listen obediently, and we're supposed to respond respectfully to that. Right? We're supposed to factor mom and dad in our lives rather than ignoring who they are in our lives. And God, regardless of what it means, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That sounds awful, whatever that ultimately means. Okay? So I don't claim to fully understand that, but to say that if you ignore your parents, God will allow you to experience that. God does not sit around idly and says it's okay to dishonor your parents when he commands us very directly. The first people-to-people command in the Ten Commandments is honoring your parents. The first commands have to do with us and God. The rest of them have to do with us and people. The first one has to do with our parents. The last one here, and I don't know why, it's almost whimsical because it's just one time in all of Proverbs. And I'll just call it this way, deal honestly. Deal honestly with your mother. Chapter 28, verse 24 says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. The idea is that if you steal from your parents, it's the same as if you were attacking them. Like if you were an invading force or something. Okay? And I don't know why it just threw this one verse in this one time in all 31 chapters of Proverbs, but it does to say that. So we're not supposed to take from our parents. Now the parents can give to the kids. I think we live in such affluent times that even the poorest of people have much. So it's hard to understand that the stealing thing, but it's one of the Ten Commandments as well, isn't it? Thou shalt not steal kind of idea. So it must be inherent within us. I told you one time as a young child, I remember stealing from the offering plate. You can get rid of me after this if you really need to. There, I think it was we had a communion table up front and then, you know, the pulpit, and they would always take the offering up to the communion table. And then there was a slide. We had a missionary or something and I was going behind there. We were playing hide and seek or whatever after the service, and they hadn't picked up the money. And so I must have taken like 3/4 or something, you know, with my trip through. I think I put them back, but I don't know. I don't really know. It's too long. I don't remember what I did hardly yesterday, right? But I'm saying I didn't need it. But there's something inside the sinful heart that wants to steal. Just like I always think, I'm driving the speed limit and I see people go by like they're on their way somewhere really important. You know? And you're like, why? You know, why is that necessary? You know, so It's just because, you know, we defy the law. I don't know, because we're the center of our universe or something. I'm not sure, but it's the nature of what we are. But the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to steal from our parents. And our parents give us so much, right? So, and ultimately our parents lay up for us, the Bible says. It's a honor of parents to be able to provide for their kids as they get older. Initially, you kind of set them out on their own and stuff too. So, isn't this a weird mix? I think there's some logic here, but when you do a study of the word mother in the book of Proverbs, these are all the occurrences of the word in the New King James, all of them except for one, and that one in Proverbs 4:3 says, "When I was young and tender in the sight of my mother," it was really talking about when parents begin training their children early on, kind of idea. So I didn't really think it fit here, but listen obediently to your mother. And I think that's probably fair to say, because there's five verses, that's probably the most important and foundational. We need to listen to our parents, especially if we have believing parents. My goodness, what a blessing to have that. And if you are a believing parent, this is good to teach your kids. You listen to me, you won't always have me. All of that kind of stuff. And even though it's not perfect information, I'm doing the best I can to point in the right direction. Live wisely because of your mother. Grab what your parents teach you and learn from that, rather than learning the hard way later when you think you know everything and then you find out you hit the brick wall. I see that. I have seen that so much. I'm only 51, but I've seen it so much. Where parents all of a sudden are stupid and kids are smart, and then they leave, and then they just kind of crash and burn. Speak honorably to your mother and about your mother. Just our words, God expects and demands respect for our parents, whether they're with us now or not. Treat your mother respectfully in attitude and action. And then number five, to deal honestly with your mother. So minding our manners towards our mothers, okay? So let's pray, and then we'll have our fellowship time, okay? Thank you, Lord, for our moms. Lord, I am so thankful for my mom, and Lord, just how hard she worked on our behalf to raise kids and to care for a husband. And Lord, I just honor her with my lips now before these people, and I just thank you for all of our moms who cared for us when we were helpless, when we were needy, when we were hurt. And Lord, you have expectations that we are to listen to the parents you've given to us. We are to honor them. Help us to do that, even after they're gone, to walk in honor in our parents' memory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.